Hi everyone, and welcome back to Loyalty Discussions with White Label Loyalty. Today I'm super excited because we're joined by a very special guest, Tom Peace from The Loyalty People. Today we're going to discuss Black Friday and its effects on customer loyalty to help you navigate this very important retail season. So Tom, before we get into our discussion, could you please introduce yourself to our listeners and tell us a bit about the mission of The Loyalty People?
Sure, thank you, Helen. Just like to say, it's a pleasure to be here. Thanks very much for having me on. Yes, I'm Tom Peace. I'm the Managing Director at The Loyalty People, and we are a small but very fast-growing strategic consultancy who deliver customer engagement strategy for our clients. So it could be anything from a full loyalty program design through to kind of CRM optimization or customer journey analysis, or even much smaller projects like market research and financial planning. So it's a pleasure to be here. I know that we've worked together before at the White Label Loyalty Company and The Loyalty People. So yeah, it's great to be here. In terms of our mission, the company mission, I think really it's to create really innovative and future focused loyalty strategy. So we want to help brands to really differentiate and bring forward the newest technologies and the newest approaches to loyalty. So we're very often talking to brands about Web3 integration or experiential program design or the use of NFTs, which I still don't really understand, but other people in the team do, or anything like that. That's kind of a real future trend. And, you know, subscription loyalty is also something that's very big for brands at the minute. So we are technology agnostic. We don't deal with technology at all. We partner with guys like yourselves or other guys in the sector to deliver the technology. We are purely about the strategy, and we always start with the customer.
Let's get into our Black Friday discussion. I'd like to start with understanding a bit more about your experience of working with brands on Black Friday campaigns. So what would you say are the key strategies that brands use during this time? And are there any campaigns that have stood out to you?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, I think in the past, loyalty has been separate to Black Friday. I think in the last couple of years, brands have started to talk to us about, okay, we're doing this activity. How do we make it of benefit to our loyalty program, or how do we create loyalty through this? And I do think it is tough. The mindset for the consumer, the mindset is absolutely get the best deal you can. It might be shop around for a coffee machine and get the best deal on a coffee machine that you can. Or it might be, I'm super loyal to Nike, so I'm just going to get as much Nike stuff as I can for the lowest possible cost. That is someone's mindset. The mindset is not anything to do with loyalty, really. So, and I think that promotions generally drive promiscuity. So that is alien to loyalty. So what brands need to do, I think, is start to think about how they can acquire a customer through Black Friday, and then how they maintain that relationship. And that is really where I think brands need to try to excel at. Don't think about, oh, can Black Friday drive loyalty? I don't think it can. That's not the consumer's mindset. But what you can do is acquire a customer. And once you've acquired them, think about how you are going to maintain that relationship, build the relationship, and create retention. In terms of a really good campaign, good question. I think the brands, going back to coffee, perhaps, would be a good example of where a brand would, like maybe a Nespresso or a some of the other guys, Dolce Gusto, I think, is also Nestle, isn't it? But some of the Dow experts, etc., they are selling the machine very cheaply as a Christmas present at Black Friday. But then it's how they create some sort of a subscription base or an ongoing relationship with the user. That is where you really drive the loyalty. And if you can get someone to buy your coffee machine and then subscribe them, so not only are they buying the capsules very regularly. They're buying them directly from you and not through a third party. That's perhaps where you want to get to. I think outside of a subscription style environment, if you are fast fashion or hospitality, that sort of thing, it's really tough because people's mindset at Black Friday is, how do I save money? Not how do I choose a brand that I want to be loyal to for the future?
That's so true. I think when it comes to Black Friday, a lot of people assume that all consumers love it, but it's probably a bit more complex than that.
Yeah, well, you know what? We did some research. We worked with a brand called Deep Loop. They were at the time, had a different name, they were called Fasalis at the time, but they have rebranded as Deep Loop, and they have a really interesting technology. What they can do is they ask questions. It's a market research solution. They ask questions of people, but you record your answer. You actually speak into the computer, you record your answer, and they've got AI which looks at what people are saying, but also their facial tweaks and twinges in what they're actually saying. And they can say, well, this is what they're saying, but it isn't necessarily what they mean. And the example that they've given to me previously is, imagine Jaguar cars. Jaguar cars may ask lots of people. Now, everyone's going to say, oh, yeah, Jaguar, amazing car. I'd love to drive a Jaguar. But actually, the younger demographics are thinking, it's more my dad's choice. And actually, but nobody's going to say, oh, Jaguar, rubbish, because clearly they're not. They're an amazing car. Everyone would want a Jaguar. But actually, in the back of their mind, they're thinking, if I had that sort of money, I'd probably be buying a Ferrari. So they, and actually, this AI was really clever. We targeted that at the Black Friday marketplace. And we found two different types of people. We found people that really just don't really like Black Friday. They, you know, it's for them, it's like when the January sales used to be on in days gone by, and it would just be racks and racks. The shops would just be teeming with stuff, and you had to go in there, and you were searching through it for your size and things like that. And it was just murder. Like, you really had to commit to it. And it's not done like that anymore, thank God. But, you know, when I was a bit younger, it was a bit like that. And there were a lot of people that find Black Friday a bit like that. It's a bit intimidating. It's too much. It's quite difficult to find what you want. And you always got that feeling of, did I really get the best deal? Did I genuinely get the best deal? Or actually, was there another deal somewhere else that I just missed? And then there were other people that just loved it. People plan for it. So people would think, well, I won't buy anything. From about August onwards, I'm not going to buy anything. I'm just going to hold out if I can. New pair of trainers, new outfit, whatever it is, I'm just going to hold on until Black Friday because I know I'm going to get 25, 30, even 50% off. So there was these two demographics of people. But what we also asked is, how does it affect your loyalty to a brand? And there were a lot of people that said, yeah, I might be loyal to my brand all year round. I just love this brand that I'm really into. But I will switch at Black Friday. If another brand gives me a better deal, I will switch. But then I will always go back after the fact. And this is what I mean by it's just changing people's mindset to, oh, I know that brand. I trust that brand. I like that brand. I always buy that brand. But at Black Friday, they get swept up in this deal culture and they will try something else. But it's difficult for that brand to then acquire that person as a loyal advocate because they want to go back.
Exactly. What's your personal take on Black Friday as a consumer? Are you for it or?
I used to be so into it. I was one of those planners. So I would literally have lists of Christmas presents I was going to buy. I knew everything that I wanted. And then I would just go on Amazon or direct to the brand or whatever and just get all of those items or similar on the best deals I possibly could. And these days, maybe it's got a bit older, got a bit busier. I don't know, but I don't do that so much anymore. I will scan through the Amazon deals. I might, if there's something in particular that I'm after, I might go for it. But what I will do is I'm a mad cyclist. I go mountain biking twice a week. I was still, at my fair age, still racing BMXs. And I will look out on Black Friday for bike bits, new handlebars, new cranks, new chains, all that sort of stuff. And if I see deals, even if I don't really need it, I buy it and then it goes in that secret part of the garage where my wife's not allowed to go. Just spare bits and bobs. So I will plan for that, but I don't engage with Black Friday anywhere near like I did maybe 5 or 10 years ago. What about you? Do you engage in the same way?
Honestly, no. I think there is an element of like consumer fatigue that's been happening over the past few years where it's just a bit like nothing, we don't really see anything really new and exciting.
Agreed. And that was something that came out in the Deep Loop research, actually, that people were saying, well, these deals are good, but I've seen this, I saw this in April. It's not actually any better than I've seen previously. So yeah, I think there is a bit of fatigue, yeah.
So on that note, I would love to know your thoughts on the effects of Black Friday promotions on brand perception. Do you think consumers view brands differently when they offer really big discounts during this period?
Yeah, I think they are almost not really considering the brand in a lot of places. They're in the market, going back to the coffee machine example, they are in the market for a coffee machine. They're not necessarily looking at brand. Some are. Some will think, oh, I really just want an espresso, so I'm just going to wait until the deal's on. And I think that's a very natural behaviour, which people have done for many, many years. Even before Black Friday, that's people did that. They'd wait for a deal. But I also think that a lot of people are thinking, especially if they're buying it for a gift, think, oh, Uncle Dave wants a coffee machine. What's the cheapest one I can find that meets the deal in Black Friday? And I think that you're not thinking about loyalty when your mindset is like that. And it could be anything. It could be football boots, or it could be, PlayStation or whatever. You're just looking for the best deal you can at the time on Black Friday. So, yeah, so I think people's perception of the brand isn't necessarily related to Black Friday at all. Their perception is around the deal they can get. Having said that, I think all brands just have to put some Black Friday deals out there. They have to have Black Friday deals on their website. They have to participate in the retail Black Friday deals. If they don't, they will look odd. And I think it's only the very luxury brands that can get away with not doing it at all. So you've got to do it. You've got to do the maths. You've got to be very careful about what you promote and what you don't. And, you know, protect your margins and think about the mix of products that you sell. All that is super important. And brands, I think, generally do that really well. And they are just trying to make the absolute most out of that opportunity. So I think that if they don't do it, the brand perception will be a bit like, why aren't they doing any deals? That actually might be the negative effect. But I don't think it necessarily hurts or harms the brand to do it, because it's not really about brand advocacy or loyalty. It's about maximizing the seasonal peak.
Yeah, totally. And I also think with the whole brand switching pattern that often happens during Black Friday, you're obviously going to get consumers trying new brands that they've perhaps never purchased from before. It is quite a key opportunity for brands to present themselves in the right way, right? It's not just about discounts. It's also about delivering a really seamless shopping experience and making sure the whole experience that you're giving to potentially brand new consumers is really positive. So things like a post-purchase strategy being in place, making sure you're staying in contact with the customer and you're not just, you know, focusing on discounts, but you're focusing on what you can do to make sure that that experience is a really positive one.
Exactly, yeah. And that's the thing where brands, if you have acquired somebody at Black Friday, you have got to work really hard, because their mindset there was not necessarily about a long-term partnership. Their mindset there was trial or gifting or actually just the cheapest I could maximize this deal. So yeah, I think brands do have to work hard to build that relationship up. And if someone has bought that as a gift, you need to try and find that out and then therefore not waste your time. You know, you don't want to hammer in this person to buy more coffee pods or to engage with you if actually they bought that as a gift for someone else. So if there is a way to find out, you know, and even say, oh, who was that person? That's quite difficult. But if you can form a relationship with the end user rather than the purchaser, it can be really valuable.
We've kind of been talking about how Black Friday isn't necessarily an opportunity to create loyalty. But for anyone listening who does want to try and build long-lasting relationships with consumers during this time with whatever campaign they're doing, what kind of strategies do you think could work?
Yeah, well, I think first and foremost, acquisition is part of loyalty, right? So the first stage of a loyalty program is acquisition. So, and Black Friday can be amazing for acquisition. So the first thing you need to do is focus on that part of things. It may be that a lot of the customers that you get through your Black Friday activity are already part of your loyal base, and they are just using that as an opportunity to save some money on products that they may have bought already. Well, fine. There's no getting away from that. But if you are acquiring new customers, that is a big part of loyalty, and you've got them then. So what I would say is, first and foremost, think very carefully about how you are going to, as you just said a couple of minutes ago, how are you going to maximize that opportunity once they have bought for the first time? To make sure, first of all, that you are collecting the data. How are you going to engage this person into your loyalty program after they have made this first heavily discounted purchase? So think about that journey, especially if you are an FMCG or a consumer durables brand and it's being bought through a third party such as Amazon. How are you going to create that relationship with the customer? Are you going to get them to log into your app or send a warranty back or join your club or subscribe to your service? How are you going to get that person into your program? That's the key and most important factor. And you might have to incentivize people to do that, but think very carefully about how you do that. Subscription-based models are very, very popular at the minute. So that is potentially a model if you have a certain service element after your first purchase. So again, coffee machines, perfect example. People have got iPods. If you are selling fast fashion or footwear or cosmetics, think carefully about how you're going to engage that person in a way that is valuable to them and is something that they want to engage with based on the fact that they have bought their first item at a heavily discounted rate. So that's your first challenge, and think about how you're going to create that hook to get people into your program. And then I think you need to think about how you're going to communicate following them joining the program. So bear in mind that these people have come in on a big discount. So discount, cost savings are something they are interested in. You need to find out what else they're interested in, how they're using your brand, what they like about your brand. If you can find that out and build loyalty around that. But what you know about them straight away is that they are discount driven. So that's perhaps the way that you continue to engage with them. So maybe it's anniversary offers, maybe it's birthday offers, maybe it's regular discounts. Maybe you start with price cut discounts and move to bundle discounts, because then you're at the very least you're driving the value of the purchase up. Then maybe try and shorten the frequency, and all that time for learning about the consumer and what they like, which parts of your product they like, which segments, etc. And you can start to learn about them. And once you've got them hooked into your kind of CRM and your loyalty, you could then start learning about them through perhaps social media, through polls, questionnaires, maybe gamification. You can start to engage the consumer more. But I think coming from where you're coming from, if you go, all right, this person's just bought my product 50% off at Black Friday, I'm going to send them a questionnaire. They're not engaged enough to fill out that questionnaire. You've got to keep going perhaps with the promotional activity, because that's what's motivated them, and then create that deeper connection over time.
Right. And what you're essentially talking about there is personalization. So really getting to know your customer and delivering exactly what they want. And I think obviously that's a huge thing within loyalty programs.
To be honest, hyper-personalization is just table stakes now for brands. It's not enough just to know their name and their email address. You need to know things about them. Why are they buying your product? What are they using it for, etc.? And there's lots of brands out there that do this really well. But I would say look at the sports brands, Adiclub, Nike, etc., Strava. They are all doing that data collection so well because they're just asking you, oh, what sports are you into? And oh yes, so you bought running trainers, do you? How much do you run? And Strava now creating these mini communities and letting you compete against other people in your local area. And it's just super engaging for people, but it's very personalized. Other brands can learn a lot from perhaps what the sports brands are doing, perhaps in terms of the hype.
So in terms of loyalty program rewards, we obviously just spoke about if you know that your customer has come through to you and signed up to your loyalty program from Black Friday, they're likely to be very discount driven. But what other kinds of rewards do you think brands should consider offering? What kind of maybe rewards that go beyond discounts have you seen resonate with consumers?
Yeah, that is a really good question. So outside of Black Friday, I think there's a move towards kind of experiential loyalty and content and things like that. And I think that's very valuable. It's a good way to engage the customer without actually discounting. And actually, consumers really want that now. Within Black Friday, I'm not sure it cuts through. People, because as we've said, people are not in that mindset. If you say, oh, buy this item and get access to this content, if your competitor is just doing 50% off, you'll lose out. So I think the content piece, the points bonus piece, those elements are really valuable outside of Black Friday, or they could be used within Black Friday to top up your offer. But Black Friday is all about price, so you've got to align to that. But yeah, I think experiential programs, there's lots of programs do this, especially within kind of cosmetics and luxury side of things. The experiential programs that are being developed, all about tutorials and content and tie-ups with influencers and celebrities. And we worked with a brand and we were advising them to, for their VIP customers, you can put on like an evening in the store. Glass of champagne, bring in a celebrity, teach people how to apply the particular makeup, do a mini fashion show. All these sorts of things are super engaging for customers, but I don't necessarily think it will cut through at Black Friday. That's all about the deal.
Yeah, totally. I think events will be a big thing in the future. It's similar to what Starbucks are doing with their Web3 initiative,
yeah,
where they're kind of creating these coffee expert experience where you can, you know, go visit the farm where the coffee beans are grown. And I think that's amazing. It's a totally a better way to give your customer more value beyond what everyone else is doing.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's a lot of kind of engaging ways to do that, like just giving people menus to cook at home, or online tutorials. I think some of the cosmetic brands now have AI, don't they, where you can apply the makeup looking at the screen and it shows you virtually what the makeup's going to look like when you I need to give it a try, clearly, because I don't know it well enough, but I've seen it done, and I think that's also a really interesting way to engage the consumer.
Yeah, it's the technology, yeah, that I think is really going to drive new trends going forward.
Absolutely, yeah.
So on the topic of trends, do you think Black Friday is going to change a lot in the future, and what do you think brands are gonna start to do or try?
Good question. So I think it's here to stay, essentially. I think there is a bit of fatigue, and maybe brands need to think about innovating. I think it's also getting a bit earlier every year. Like, it seems to be some of the brands start their Black Friday in about middle of October. So we're about due one any minute, I guess. And I think that's good. They obviously want to be first to the consumer. but it just kind of feels like it's elongating that period a little bit. But I think it's here to stay, and brands must do it because it's all about maximizing that seasonal peak at Christmas. You know, no brand wants to get that wrong because it can be disastrous. So it's definitely here to stay. In terms of innovation, I don't know so much, really. From a loyalty point of view, I don't know so much for a Black Friday kind of promotional optimization, maybe not my specific field of expertise. From a loyalty proposition, I think we will see brands doing deals where part of the deal is activated through data collection. So maybe it's, okay, we'll give you £30 off now, but we'll give you another £10 off when you join our program, or you take a particular action within our CRM or whatever. Brands might start doing that to make sure that, and I think some are already starting to do this, because what they're doing is they're making sure that if they're gonna discount so heavily for the acquisition, they must get the data. And I think we'll perhaps start to see something around that nature where brands are saying, well, really, to maximize the very best discount, we need your data and we need you to interact.
Yeah, I think that's spot on. I've seen a lot of brands really in the past year or so really drive their data strategy. They want to collect as much as they possibly can about their customers. And I also think the role of AI is really important here. Obviously, it helps brands become really hyper-personalized. So, you know, brands don't just know what you're buying. They know when you're buying it, how you're buying it, payment methods, delivery methods. And I think when it comes to AI, the predictability element is really exciting. Something that we have within our technology is the ability to predict customer churn. Mm-hmm. So the kind of AI module will analyze all of the data that you're collecting and will be able to identify and pinpoint the time in which your customer is most likely to churn. Mm-hmm. So you've got that foresight and you can act before they do churn, which is really exciting. I think in the next couple of years, we're definitely going to see brands really utilizing data and AI to really get ahead.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And I think there is also AI. For me, I mean, we've used AI in the form of machine learning for data analytics has been around for many, many years. But I think you're right, that AI is making it easier for brands that perhaps don't have as frequent as a interaction as, say, a grocer. But AI is also helping brands to collect data from other sources. So not just purchase frequency, but can we start collecting from social media? Like, if somebody tags us or somebody joins our social media group, can we then learn a little bit about them? Are they a dog owner? And all these sorts of things that you can start to learn, which might be useful to you as a brand if you're in that particular area. And I think then we're obviously moving towards chatbots and things like that. And I'm not necessarily sure chatbots don't really work for me. I just want to talk to a person. The customer care isn't quite there, but it's coming. It is coming. And I think we're going from sort of the machine learning processing data to collecting data and analyzing data. And then we will move to kind of actual interactions. But for me, that's still a few years off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. We're already seeing businesses get quite good at it, but AI is going to definitely take it to the next level in the next
session. Yeah, definitely.
So I wanted to talk a bit about generational differences when it comes to
careful now, Helen. What have you picked on me for this one?
How do younger generations, like Gen Z or millennials, approach Black Friday? And what do you think our listeners need to consider when targeting different demographics?
Yeah, right. A few things then. So Gen Z and millennials, Gen Z especially, they do operate differently to the rest of us in terms of loyalty. And the key difference is that they don't get points at all. They want instant gratification. And as a result of these changes, we're all getting a bit Gen Z. And that's why a lot of the grocers are doing things with Boots, and people like that are doing things now where the points, the discount is instant for a club card holder or a Nectar card holder, etc. You get an instant discount right there because you want that instant gratification. Well, that's one of the reasons why they're doing that. And I think that's a big thing for Gen Zs. A Gen Z is very alien for a Gen Z to say, right, I'm gonna fly with this airline 5, 6, 7 times, and eventually the air miles will be worth something. It's not how Gen Z thinks. Gen Z thinks, right, if you want me to book this flight, I want my reward now. I'm not going to wait 12 months for that reward to be worth something. So that's very alien to a Gen Z. And the next thing that's quite unusual about Gen Z related to that is that they're very, very, very good researchers. So whereas an older generation might think, oh, I can't be bothered researching. I'm just going to fly with this airline every time because I like the airline and I get points and I can't be bothered researching. That's absolutely not what Gen Z does. And Gen Z will say, right, I want to fly to this city. I want to arrive at this time. I want to be a direct flight and I want to fly from this airport. And then they will go and find the best flight for them. And the actual airline is just coincidental to that process. If the price is right and the times are right and it's at the right airport, etc., they just book it. So that makes it quite difficult for brands to create loyalty because actually the things that the younger generations want from loyalty are very different. We just think about, when I say we, my generation and older, think about convenience and value in terms of air miles or points or whatever it might be, whatever industry you're in. And actually, that's kind of where our head at. I don't really need to think about the hotel. I'm a member of IHG Group, so I'm just going to go on there, find one in the city and book it because we don't want to research. Whereas it's completely opposite. So that's where maybe aggregators start to become really powerful for Gen Zs or Gen Z behavioral people. And I think that's where maybe brands have to think wider about loyalty. What is valuable to Gen Zs is because they're researchers, they want to be able to get the information really quickly. They want an instant reward. They're also very interested in social concerns, so ESG considerations. Especially within Europe, it's mainly all about health and sustainability. It's different in different parts of the world, but that tends to be what's really important to Gen Zs here. So actually that can have a benefit either if you've got some really, you know, you can offer an instant reward, which is what Black Friday is all about essentially, but you could tip the balance in your favor with ESG considerations, especially around sustainability. You can tip the balance a little bit in terms of helping them to research. And you can also tap into those kind of instant gratifications in terms of maybe free delivery for other benefits like that. So yeah, but I do think that we're all getting a little bit Gen Z actually, even the older generations are. Everyone's becoming much more comfortable purchasing things online. And we all start to think a little bit more about instant rewards and we all start to think a little bit more about sustainability. So we're all going that way, but it's very much...
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I'm glad you mentioned sustainability because it seems like a lot of young people kind of almost vote for the world that they want to see with their wallet.
Yeah.
So they're really careful about what kind of brands they're choosing. And like you said, they do that extra research. They spend time trying to understand who this brand is, what they do. And, you know, it only takes one bit of negative PR about something that they've done that's not so great for a young customer to be like, okay, well, I'm not interested in you anymore unless you really shape up.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. They really vote with their feet. The young generations really vote with their feet. Whereas older generations, once they are kind of invested in the brand really has to do quite a lot to annoy them so much that they walk away. Mm. You know, if you have collected a lot of air miles or a lot of hotel points or a lot of grocery points, if you're invested in that, it takes a lot to shape that. Whereas millennials aren't like that, or Gen Zs and millennials aren't like that. You've only got to get it wrong once and they're like, bye. So it's tough. It's tough. And what that means for Black Friday and promotional strategy, I think it will be interesting, but I think we need to see some Black Friday brands or Black Friday investors, if you like, really thinking about the other things that that Gen Z is like. And I think sustainability is a big thing. Yeah, you're right.
Okay, lastly, Tom, we like to ask all of our guests this question just for fun. Do you have a personal favourite loyalty programme? And if so, why? Why do you love it?
I am an avid collector of Avios points. This is a value proposition for me because I will collect those points all year. I do everything I can to collect the Avios just so that I can use that to part pay essentially for my family holiday. So it is purely a value transaction. I like a British Airways airline. They're a good airline. I like flying with them, but it's not about that so much for me. It's about the value proposition. You know, they are a good brand. They're an excellent brand, but really it's about collecting those points and getting that discount on the family holiday, which I think is where I'm really at. But actually, the brand that I'm really fascinated with at the minute, and I mentioned this in a conference recently, is Duolingo. The reason I'm not a linguist at all, I don't use this. My daughter uses it, and I've spoken to other people that use it. But what I am really fascinated about with Duolingo is they have created this kind of gamification, which really is a level above. So I know that today isn't the subject, is not gamification, but if I may, for 30 seconds, my view on gamification is that doing things like spin the wheel or little gamified interactions like that are great. They're really good. They're a good way to talk to the customer outside of their usual purchase frequency. They're a great way for people to have fun and just get a good feeling about a brand. Great way to collect data. There's lots of reasons why you do that sort of thing. But what Duolingo have done is they've taken it to the next level in terms of the psychology of gaming. So if you think about video games are easy to start but hard to master. And that's what Duolingo have done. So what Duolingo have done is just like you would on Snapchat, where you would create a streak. They create a streak where you basically do a Duolingo task every day. And I spoke to somebody about this recently, and they said, I am now up to over 1,200 days. So that's just shy of 3 years, I think. So he is 2.5, 3 years worth of Duolingo without missing a single day. Now, this is just a brilliant loyalty program that Duolingo and it's free, but this guy will not miss a day. He's going to be devastated on the day that he does miss, but he is locked into that solution. And, you know, it's free. Duolingo is free, but there are more premium services. And I am sure that when you get somebody who is 2-3 years into your game, they're going to be upgrading. So this is something that I've seen it in the marketplace, and I'm like, this is incredible. Well done, Duolingo. This is a very clever gamified loyalty program that actually has created friction, but they've created friction in a good way. So yeah, well, so well done to Duolingo. I'm a little bit like, wow, that's really cool.
Yeah, I think that's a great example. We were actually talking about it as a team this morning.
Oh, really?
Because someone in the team, their brother actually paid to get their streak back.
Yeah.
And I think that really encapsulates just how well they've done at engaging people.
Absolutely.
And really hugging people to what they're doing.
Yeah, that's like you can pay to ensure your streak. I mean, this is just genius. Somebody at Duolingo needs a medal, I think. This is
yeah,
really good.
Definitely. Amazing. Tom, thank you so much for joining us and sharing all your insights on Black Friday and loyalty. If any of our listeners want to find out more about you and the loyalty people, where should they go?
So go to, find me on LinkedIn. I think there's not, there can't be too many Tom Pieces. The spelling is Peace, like War and Peace. Quite an unusual surname. Or go to our website, which is theloyaltypeople.global.